This is a Bloomberg Daybreak for this Monday, February 27th, 2017, coming up this hour.
Deutsche Börse's $13 billion acquisition of London Stock Exchange appears to be on the verge of collapse.
Deutsche Bank reportedly cut its bonus pool for 216 by 80% after a year where shares slumped 23%.
Early data shows China's economy remaining steady to start the new year.
Some early clues into President Trump's proposed budget, and the Oscar goes to The Wrong Movie. I'm Nathan Hager. Those stories and more coming up.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Rangers lost at the Garden to Columbus. Grapefruit League wins for the Mets and Yankees. Kurt Busch captured the Daytona 500.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
And good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Korn Ferry. Leadership, rewards, culture, recruitment. Let Korn Ferry help sync your talent to your strategy to release the full power of your people. Learn more at kornferry.com/up.
And it's 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures this morning, they are little changed. The DAX in Germany's up 0.1%. CAC in Paris down 0.1%, and the FTSE 100 is up 0.2%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 0.9%. Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 6/32nds, yield 2.33%. Yield on the 2-year 1.16%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.8% or 45 cents to $54.43 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.2% or $2.20 to $12.56.10 an ounce. The euro $1.0585. The yen 112.26.
A new week of trading underway in Europe. For the latest there, we bring in Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor Manus Cranny live from our London bureau. Good morning, Manus.
Bob, Karen, a very good day to you. Here in Europe, it is all deals are cancelled. Let's kick it off with the London Stock Exchange. They say that the $13 billion tie-up with Deutsche Börse is unlikely to proceed. Now, that's after a new regulatory hurdle signalled a potential end to the company's efforts to create the dominant European exchange. European Union officials had requested that the LSE divest of its MTS, that's the bond trading platform, but the LSE said it couldn't commit to such a move, and it would not submit a remedy proposal. Stock down 3.17% to £30.26. Crossing over to Italy, Intesa Sanpaolo has abandoned the idea of a joint business model with the insurance company Generali. That's as the CEO Carlo Messina doesn't see sufficient value in merging with Italy's biggest insurer, Generali. Excuse me on that. The stock rallies, roaring ahead, up 5.125%. The country's second largest bank now plans to improve and create value from within. Manus Cranny, Bloomberg Daybreak, London.
Thanks, Manus. Deutsche Bank cut its bonus pool for 2016 by almost 80%. That's according to a German newspaper, which says the measure will affect about 25,000 employees. Though Deutsche Bank told employees last month that bonuses would be reduced, the full magnitude of the cuts hadn't been divulged prior to this report.
Trading in Asia has wrapped up for this Monday. Bloomberg's Julia Sally is in our Hong Kong bureau with details.
Bob and Karen, it was a cautious day's trade across Asia to kickstart the new week as investors stayed on the sidelines ahead of speeches this week from Donald Trump and Janet Yellen. Banks and insurance stocks weighed on the Nikkei in Tokyo as the yen remained near three-month highs. Stocks in Hong Kong struggled to overcome the historic 24,000-point barrier, the Hang Seng briefly holding above that psychological level in earlier trade before retreating. Hong Kong Exchanges was a lagger after missing with its full-year net income, and forecast challenging conditions remain. The Shanghai Composite fell 0.8%. The PBOC weakening the yuan fixed the most in a week. A gauge of swings in the onshore yuan, meanwhile, is on track for the biggest monthly decline since 2005. This as the currency stabilises amid muted moves in the dollar. In Australia, insurer QBE rose after announcing a $1 billion share buyback. The ASX 200, though, down by a third of 1%. And the Korean won, a so-called Trump proxy trade, rose for a fifth session against the dollar. The KOSPI, meanwhile, down by almost half of 1%. Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
All right, thanks, Juliet. In China, a private report shows the economy remaining steady to start the new year. Bloomberg's Stephen Engel reports from Hong Kong.
The world's number two economy has picked up in recent months as trade improves, producer prices continue to rebound, and manufacturers remain upbeat. A sales manager's survey from World Economics picked up this month, and a gauge for consumer services sales growth rose to a 21-month high. Also, Standard Chartered small and medium enterprise confidence index rebounded, indicating greater confidence in a near-term recovery. The China Satellite Manufacturing Index inched lower, but it's still near a five-year high. That being said, the Chinese financial industry outlook over the next 12 months remains negative, and there's a gloomier mood, too, over the steel sector. Stephen Engel, Bloomberg News, Hong Kong.
Stephen, thank you. Here in the U.S., Wall Street gets back to work today after 5 weeks of gains for the S&P 500 and the Dow Jones Industrial Average at a record. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has more.
There's not a lot on the earnings calendar, and after 5 weeks of gains for equities, the focus will shift to Fed speakers and economic data. John Manley is chief equity strategist at Wells Fargo Funds Group.
As much as I'd like it to happen, the market can't go up every day. I still think the basic news is good. I still think that earnings are getting better. I think valuations are approaching high, but not there yet.
JP Morgan Chase holds its annual Investor Day. Apple holds its annual meeting at Infinite Loop headquarters in Cupertino. And look for earnings this week from Bank of Montreal, Toronto Dominion Bank, Anheuser-Busch, Deutsche Telekom, and Priceline Group. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Charlie. And on today's economic calendar, we'll get data on durable goods orders at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time, and pending home sales is out at 10. We'll also hear from Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas President Robert Kaplan speaking at 10 a.m. at the University of Oklahoma. Futures this morning, little changed. Dow futures down 2, NASDAQ futures down 5. The DAX in Germany's up about 0.8%. FTSE 100 up 0.2%. The CAC in Paris down about 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 6/32, yield 2.33%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 0.9% or 48 cents to $54.47 a barrel. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 5:07 on Wall Street. We're supposed to find out soon what's on President Trump's budget agenda. That and more now from Bloomberg's Nathan Hager. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Bob. Yeah, President Trump has said he will present his budget proposal to Congress by the middle of next month, but federal agencies are expecting their marching orders today. And a person familiar with the plan says the budget will include major increases for defense and big cuts to the Environmental Protection Agency, the State Department, and other agencies. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin tells Fox News the budget will not touch entitlements like Social Security and Medicare. President could have a lot more to say about this tomorrow night at 9 when he addresses a joint session of Congress for the first time. Bloomberg Radio will carry the president's speech live. Two new polls are out in the French presidential race. They show independent Emmanuel Macron narrowing the gap with National Front leader Marine Le Pen. Bloomberg's Greg Viscusi reports from our Paris bureau.
A week ago, Emmanuel Macron's presidential campaign was in trouble after a series of gaffes. Now Macron is starting this week as the clear front runner after picking up a number of key endorsements. Both François Fillon and Marine Le Pen are enmeshed in graft investigations, and the left is unable to unify behind a single candidate. But if there's been any lesson so far in this election, it's don't expect the status quo to last. Gregory Viscusi, Bloomberg Daybreak, Paris.
And in the Netherlands, meanwhile, the Labour and Liberal parties are fighting for every seat, with populist Geert Wilders in the lead. Less than 3 weeks before elections there, Bloomberg's Carina Ruha reports from Amsterdam.
The leaders of five political parties had their first defeat debate. The politicians discussed health care, the economy, and, of course, immigration. The debate was a bit controversial, as the leaders of the biggest parties on the right, Geert Wilders' Freedom Party and Prime Minister Mark Rutte's Liberal Party, decided not to attend. Carina Ruha, Bloomberg Daybreak, Amsterdam.
And it is, as they say, the Oscar moment everyone's talking about the next morning.
For Best Picture.
Impossible. Come on. La La Land.
Oh, except it wasn't Faye Dunaway. Warren Beatty accidentally opened the envelope for Best Actress Emma Stone in La La Land, but amid the confusion, La La Land's producers went up on stage almost at the end of their acceptance speeches. The Oscar folks handed them the real envelope showing Moonlight taking the top prize. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Appreciate it, Nathan. Yeah, what just happened there? That was just weird. And it's now 5:09 on Wall Street. John Stashower is back with us this morning with your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Bob. Been a busy stretch for the Rangers. Their fifth game in 8 days was their worst outing in a long while. Beaten at the Garden by Columbus 5-2, and the second Ranger goal came with 1 second left in the game. Cam Atkinson and Alexander Wenberg both scored a pair of goals for the Blue Jackets, who move a point ahead in New York in the Metropolitan Division. No excuses for the captain, Ryan McDonagh.
I don't think anyone should be happy with their game tonight, and that's, you know, we've had a lot of hockey here, but that's everybody, and we've had a good stretch here where things have been going our way, and we've been finding ways to win, but you've got to come ready to play and come ready to put a 60-minute effort here, and we didn't do that.
Just their third loss of February. College basketball, the wins keep coming for the Monmouth Hawks. They're 16th in a row, 79-73 at Iona, 25 points for Jalon Hornby. St. Peter's won at Canisius and the ACC Louisville by 20 over Syracuse. Grapefruit League, Yankees beat Toronto 7-2 in Tampa. Starlin Castro, a three-run homer. Luis Severino trying to nail down a spot in the rotation with two hitless innings. Mets beat Detroit 5-2. Michael Conforto in a battle to start in the outfield with already his second homer of the spring. A day of wrecks at Daytona, and then four drivers ran out of gas, including Chase Elliott at the end. Kurt Busch won the war of attrition, taking the lead on the final lap to win the Daytona 500 for the first time. He had finished second three previous times, had suspended 2 years ago for a domestic violence incident. Also in Florida, Ricky Fowler won the Honda Classic Golf by 4 shots. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
Thank you, John. Other sports news. A transgender boy has won a controversial girls' state wrestling title. Mac Beggs says he would rather be wrestling boys, but Texas state law calls for students to compete against the gender listed on their birth certificates. Beggs completed an undefeated season, clouded by criticism that testosterone he's taking as he transitions created an unfair advantage. Following his win, the student gave credit for the win to the support he's received from teammates. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak, and this is Bloomberg Radio. Daybreak brought to you by Willoughby's since 1898. New York City's boutique camera store for precision-crafted Hasselblad and Leica cameras, plus a full selection of GoPro action-adventure cameras. Willoughby's, corner of 5th Avenue and 31st Street.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by the ERP certification. Fuel your team's mastery of physical and financial energy markets with the ERP certification, the only globally recognized designation for energy risk professionals. Learn more at garp.org/ERP. Today we're watching the markets as the Dow Jones Industrial Average comes off an 11-day streak of record closes, the longest rally since January 1992. The S&P 500 also ended Friday at a record. Futures are little changed this morning. S&P futures down less than a point. Dow futures down 8. NASDAQ futures down 6. DAX in Germany, little change. CAC in Paris down 0.1%. The FTSE 100 up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 2.33%. NYMEX crude oil up 1% or 52 cents to $54.52 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1% or $1.80 to $12.56.50 an ounce. The euro, $1.0585, the yen, 112.21. At 8:30 Wall Street time, we're looking for reports on durable goods orders, while at 10, it's pending home sales. And Priceline.com, among companies scheduled to report earnings this morning. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Nathan Hager with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Nathan.
Good morning, Karen. Lots more defense spending, big cuts to the EPA. That's what President Trump's expected to ask for in his first budget proposal to Congress coming out next month. A person familiar with the plan tells Bloomberg, though, the outline could be made public as early as today ahead of the president's speech to a joint session of Congress. That comes up at 9 o'clock tomorrow night, Wall Street time. Bloomberg Radio will air it live. In case you didn't stay up to see this live, Moonlight won Best Picture at the 89th Academy Awards, but not before Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway opened the wrong envelope and mistakenly declared La La Land the winner. It was the Oscar moment to beat all Oscar moments. In sports, the Celtics beat the Pistons. Wizards lose to the Utah Jazz. And on NHL ice, the Rangers fall to the Blue Jackets. Bruins double up the Stars. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Nathan, thank you very much. As questions remain about the future of France and the European Union, we're joined now by Valentin Marinov, UK-based head of G10 FX Research for Crédit Agricole. Good morning to you. He's joining us on the Spectrum Enterprise phone line. Spectrum Enterprise, nationwide fiber-based network and IT infrastructure solutions. The anxiety over the French presidential election continues. There's talk about the possibility of a first-round Le Pen victory. Could that affect the strength of the currency? How concerned are you?
Good morning. Yes, indeed. The FX markets, euro investors in particular, will continue to focus on the French presidential election, and in that the first round is playing a role. I think by now most investors, more clients we talk to assume that Le Pen will win that round. But I guess what will really matter for the market is the magnitude of that win, really whether she'll be able to garner like 30% support or indeed more than that, which then will ultimately mean that you may have a better chance of winning in the second round as well.
One way or another, that would still mean a rocky road for the euro?
Well, obviously, I think euro has been trading in lockstep with the OAT bond spreads, really the French bond yields relative to the German bond yields. So I'd imagine that any indication that the support for Le Pen is growing, as reflected in the first round polls, will affect both. Actually, we're going to see further bond yield spread widening and indeed renewed euro downside across the board.
We've also seen the pound drop as the British government is reported to be bracing for a potential Scottish independence referendum. Is this going to be the story across Europe for some time to come?
At least for today, for sure. It is the case that such an outcome has been expected in the sense that the SNP, the Scottish National Party, has been indeed threatening to indeed call for a second independence referendum in the event of triggering of Article 50. So nothing really new to that. I guess the timing of it was somewhat unexpected. All I have to say at the moment is, right, looking at the polls in Scotland, it is still the case that the majority of Scottish people are supporting, effectively will vote against independence, right? They'd rather stay in the EU, in the UK for now. So from that point of view, in terms of reaction in the pound, while the development is not helping the currency, is not necessarily a game changer. In that, I think that given that we have that expectation now in place and the recent media reports confirming that expectation that an independence vote referendum could be held before long, all eyes will be on the polls ahead of that referendum. So the pound could remain vulnerable to any indications that the idea of Scottish independence is actually getting more support.
Yeah, a few minutes ago you mentioned the phrase the euro marching in lockstep, but it seems that the pound also has been held hostage to politics.
Well, yeah, indeed, I cannot agree more. It is the case that one of the big themes for this year, we expect to continue to play out in coming months, is the European political risk. Obviously, the Eurozone political risk centered on France, but also all the political risks centered around the Brexit and indeed the triggering of Article 50. As with all political risks, they are inherently difficult to predict. That said, I think the investors' cautiousness with respect to the euro and the pound is here to stay, if only because the tail risk of really the bad outcomes like really Le Pen victory or indeed a cluster of political risks surrounding the Article 50 trigger Scottish independence referendum and all that should make us worry for potential further significant downside in both euro and the pound. So that cautiousness likely to continue to weigh on the pound and the euro in the near term as well.
Very briefly here, where does all this uncertainty we've been talking about leave the dollar?
At the moment, it is the case that political uncertainty, the dollar is not necessarily exempt from political uncertainty, and we could attribute at least some of the latest underperformance against currencies like the yen or indeed the Australian dollar to political uncertainty related to the implementation of Trump's policies. I think that down the road, we have to see more, or we hope to see more clarity on what fiscal policies will be implemented in the U.S. So the speech by the president tomorrow evening, London time, could be pretty key for the near-term outlook for the dollar. But on the whole, I think that the dollar underperformance need not be sustained, as we would expect more clarity on the fiscal policies in the U.S. before long.
Valentin Marinov, UK-based head of G10 FX Economics Research for Crédit Agricole. Thanks very much. He has joined us on the Spectrum Enterprise phone line. Spectrum Enterprise, nationwide fiber-based network and IT infrastructure solutions. S&P futures virtually unchanged. Daybreak brought to you by Columbia Bank. For everything you need, from personal to business banking, including credit lines and loans, see all the ways that you can count on Columbia. Columbia Bank, proudly serving New Jersey for 90 years.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Proper Cloth, the leader in men's custom shirts. With proprietary smart size technology and top-rated customer service, ordering a custom shirt has never been easier. Visit ProperCloth.com to order your first custom shirt today.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The pound is weaker this morning after the Times reported U.K. Prime Minister Theresa May is preparing for Scotland to call for an independence referendum in March. The newspaper cites unidentified government sources as saying May could agree to a new Scottish vote, but on the condition it is held after the U.K. leaves the European Union.
London Stock Exchange Group says its proposed $13 billion tie-up with Deutsche Börse is unlikely to happen. An apparent sticking point was a demand from EU regulators that LSE divest its stake in MTS, an electronic trading platform for European government bonds, which LSE was unwilling to do.
Here in the U.S., people familiar with the plan say top executives from health insurers will meet with President Donald Trump today at the White House. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has the story.
The head of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association, Scott Serota, plans to attend. Other companies that have been invited include Anthem and Cigna. President Trump has called for repealing the Affordable Care Act, calling it a failure, and has said he'll provide better, less expensive coverage. Republicans in the House of Representatives are working to come up with a strategy to repeal and replace the health law, though they acknowledge that their current proposal will cover fewer people. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thanks. The Mobile World Congress kicked off in Barcelona today, and major smartphone makers are competing for attention. LG unveiled its new G6 with an edge-to-edge display, while Chinese phone maker Huawei introduced the P10, featuring Leica camera technology. Both companies are vying to fill a void created by the absence of a new handset from the usually dominant Samsung. Samsung, for its part, is promoting two new tablet computers.
According to people familiar with the matter, China's top economic planner is investigating whether speculation has distorted commodity futures prices. The National Development and Reform Commission this month questioned futures brokers amid concerns that the recent commodities rally could drive inflation higher.
And Sasol, the world's biggest producer of liquid fuel from coal, says an $11 billion chemical plant in Louisiana is on track to open in 2018. The Johannesburg-based company says the project is more than half complete and still under budget.
Futures this morning are a little changed. The 10-year Treasury down 5/32nds, yield 2.32%, and NYMEX crude oil is moving higher. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It's now 5:33 on Wall Street. The Trump budget in focus. Let's bring in Bloomberg's Nathan Hager with that and more. Good morning to you, Nathan.
Good morning, Bob. A major boost to defense, big cuts to the Environmental Protection Agency may be what to expect from President Trump's first budget proposal to Congress. The president has said he will make it official in the middle of next month, but a person familiar with the plan tells Bloomberg the outline will be made public as early as today. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin tells Fox News the budget will not touch Social Security or Medicare, but will instead focus on tax cuts to produce long-term growth. Last night, President Trump held a black tie ball for the nation's governors. He said he might talk health care with them when he meets them later today.
As most of you know, the Obamacare has had tremendous problems. I won't say in front of the Democrats. I'll just say it to the Republicans. It doesn't work.
Now, over the weekend, the governor's got a closed-door presentation from a couple consultants that suggested up to 51% of people covered under the Affordable Care Act could lose their insurance in a state that chooses not to expand Medicaid. The president could have more to say on all these policies when he gives his first speech to a joint session of Congress. That's coming up at 9 o'clock tomorrow night, Wall Street time, and you will hear it live on Bloomberg Radio. Now, after the speech on Wednesday, President Trump is expected to sign a new executive order on immigration. That is what a senior administration official is telling the Associated Press. Of course, the initial order barring entries from seven Muslim-majority nations has been blocked in federal court. Today is the deadline for the Pentagon to come up with recommendations to meet the president's demand to obliterate Islamic State. Details are sketchy, but the new strategy is likely to deepen America's military involvement in Syria, possibly with more ground troops. Last week, Joint Chiefs Chairman General Joseph Dunford said the emerging strategy would take aim not just at Islamic State, but Al-Qaeda and other Middle Eastern extremist groups. South Korea's spy agency says North Korea executed five senior security officials with anti-aircraft guns for making false reports that enraged leader Kim Jong-un. This report comes as Malaysia continues to investigate the poisoning death of Kim's estranged half-brother, Kim Jong-nam. The Kuala Lumpur airport has been declared safe after a sweep found no traces of the nerve agent that killed the elder Kim at the airport. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you. And Nathan takes us to 535 on Wall Street. Your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update up now. And good morning to you, John Stashower.
Morning, Bob. They are jockeying for position in the NHL's Eastern Conference. Washington leads the East, then three teams separated by 2 points. Pittsburgh, Columbus, and the Rangers, who lost at the Garden to the Blue Jackets 5-2. Quite a weekend for Columbus. They beat the Islanders on Saturday 7-0. Cam Atkinson scored twice, now has 29 goals on the season. Rick Nash for New York, the other goal came with 1 second left. 2 years ago, Ben Bishop helped oust the Rangers from the playoffs in the East Finals. Tampa Bay just traded their goalie to Los Angeles. Golf, exhibition baseball, and NASCAR all in the state of Florida. Ricky Fowler won the Honda Classic by 4 shots. Mets and Yankees both won. Mets got a home run from Michael Conforto, already his second of the spring. Yanks got a 3-run shot from Starlin Castro. And Kurt Busch won the Daytona 500 for the first time.
To have come here over the years and to have fast cars and to not deliver for the team, you leave here feeling more dejected than any other racetrack. The years that you have really fast race cars and you end up on the hook, wrecked, those are the worst feelings.
Ryan Blaney finished second, A.J. Allmendinger third, second win in 3 years for Ford, and the first ever for the Stewart Haas team. Owner Tony Stewart had never won the Daytona 500 as a driver. NASCAR has a new format where drivers are awarded if they lead at earlier stages in the race. Bush's brother Kyle won the first stage yesterday, Kevin Harvick the second. Bunch of drivers failed to finish due to crashes, including Jimmy Johnson and Dale Earnhardt Jr. College basketball, Louisville blew out Syracuse by 20. Monmouth won at Iona, has now won 16 games in a row, heading into the Metro Atlantic tourney that starts this weekend. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob.
Appreciate it, John. 5:37 now on Wall Street. A new week, and Bloomberg's Ed Corey is in with a new Tri-State Business Report. Good morning to you.
Hi, Bob. MasterCard, based in Purchase, New York, and Oracle have announced a global partnership. It'll focus on restaurants, hotels, and retail stores. One feature will allow consumers to order and pay for goods and services without having to wait in line or for a restaurant server. It's called Quicker with MasterPass, Quicker spelled QKR. The platform will also eliminate the need for the traditional open tab at a bar or restaurant. Public Service Enterprise Group will continue to talk to New Jersey state lawmakers about financial incentives for its nuclear power plants. NJ Spotlight reports the utility says it needs subsidies or it may have to close the units. Connecticut could raise bottle and can deposits from a nickel to a dime. Residents can return bottles and cans at redemption centers to get their deposits back. Unclaimed deposits go to the state. The New Haven Register reports Governor Daniel Malloy's proposed budget claims the higher rate could bring in $12 million in revenue. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Bob?
Thank you much, Ed. The economic calendar begins this week with manufacturing data today at 10 a.m. Wall Street time. Economists forecast factory orders for durable goods rose for the first time in 3 months in January. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice reports.
In December, total orders dropped for the second month in a row, reflecting fewer orders for military aircraft. Orders for capital goods, however, were up, rising for the third month in a row. A sign business sentiment is improving. The government is also scheduled to issue its latest estimate of fourth quarter GDP this week. Economists anticipate an upward revision. Other reports to watch: consumer confidence, the Fed's beige book, personal income and spending, and the ISM's factory index. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Vinny. Other notable events this week include Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen speaking in Chicago on Friday. Other Fed speakers we'll hear in the days leading up to her remarks include Robert Kaplan, John Williams, Jim Bullard, Loretta Mester, Charles Evans, Jeffrey Lacker, and Stanley Fischer. Apple holds its annual shareholder meeting on Tuesday, and that's the same day that Jamie Dimon and other J.P. Morgan executives host the bank's annual Investors Day. And now let's check in with our Bloomberg affiliate radio stations to find out what commuters are hearing all about all around the world this morning.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that AbbVie is a step closer to European approval of an 8-week drug combination regimen for hepatitis C patients.
I'm John Tucker for WKTRH in Houston. I'm reporting on oil revisiting a 19-month high.
I'm Carolyn Hepker on Bloomberg DAB, digital radio in London. We're following the UK government's search for trade lawyers who are willing to work on the cheap.
I'm Patrice Sikora, and for WIOD in Miami, I'm reporting you could save money if you paid out of pocket for your generic medications instead of using your insurance copay.
I'm Steve Podisk on KYW in Philadelphia. I'm talking about a memorial service for the longtime boss at Boskoff Department Stores.
And those are just some of the stories Bloomberg is reporting across the globe this morning. S&P futures right now down less than a single point. Dow futures down 6 points. NASDAQ futures down 7 points. This is Bloomberg. And a programming reminder, President Donald Trump's much-anticipated first speech to a joint session of Congress is tomorrow night. We will, of course, be bringing it to you live here on Bloomberg Radio and on Bloomberg Television at 9 p.m. Wall Street time.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Today we are watching the markets as the Dow Jones Industrial Average comes off an 11-day streak of record closes, the longest rally since January 1992. S&P 500 also ended Friday at a record, and futures are little changed to lower this morning. S&P futures down a point, Dow futures down 12, NASDAQ futures down 8.5, the DAX in Germany little changed. 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 2.32%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.7% or 37 cents to $54.36 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1% or $1.30 to $12.57 an ounce. The euro, $1.0586, the yen, 112.28. At 8:30 Wall Street time, we're looking for reports on durable goods orders, while at 10, it's pending home sales. Priceline.com, among companies scheduled to report earnings this morning. And Mexico's top trade negotiator doubling down on threats to break off talks to rework NAFTA, saying his country will walk away if the U.S. insists on slapping duties or quotas on any products from south of the border. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Nathan Hager with more on what's going on around the world. Nathan.
Karen, President Trump meets today with the nation's governors. He says perhaps health care will come up. He hinted at that as he hosted the governors at a black tie gala at the White House last night. Now, earlier in the weekend, the governors got a closed-door briefing that suggested about half the people covered by the Affordable Care Act could lose their insurance under Republican plans to repeal and replace. Tonight, the Senate's expected to confirm another one of President Trump's cabinet picks. Unlike some other nominees, billionaire investor Wilbur Ross has had a relatively smooth ride on the way to becoming Commerce Secretary. In sports, the Celtics beat the Pistons. Wizards fall to the Jazz. Rangers lose on NHL ice to the Blue Jackets. And the Bruins skate past the Stars. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg. Bob?
Much obliged, Nathan. Now it's time to check in with Bloomberg Gadfly. Gadfly is Bloomberg's global platform for fast commentary and instant analysis about pivotal financial markets and corporate news. We're joined live now by Edward Evans, Bloomberg Gadfly editor in our London bureau. And the more things change, the more things don't for Warren Buffett when it comes to being a voice of reason through his closely followed annual letter. Well, for those of us who haven't had the chance to read it, I'm all ears, Edward, and I understand what's not in there is also getting some focus.
We had all the usual stuff in there, the unwavering love for America, pats on the back for Berkshire Hathaway's managers, the humble admissions of mistakes. But it all felt a bit flat this time, and not because it didn't have what we might call the usual dirty grandpa humor. on one hand, Buffett tried to ease any anxiety investors might have had over Trump's presidency without even uttering the man's name. That was refreshing. In fact, if you'd lived under a rock for the last year and just read the letter, you wouldn't get the sense from it that something big had really happened on the political front. But why was it so dry? I mean, Berkshire's Class A shares just reached a major milestone, closing above $250,000 apiece for 8 consecutive days. But it didn't address Berkshire's backed Kraft Heinz's withdrawal of its $143 billion plan to buy Unilever, a decision Buffett is said to have driven. And it also notably absent, too, was the elephant gun and the M&A outlook. It's probably what many readers look forward to most so they can play that old game, what will Warren buy next? Buffett, of course, has cut back the discussion in recent letters, maybe because they're well known at this point, but certainly not because they've changed. Oddly, Buffett was a little long-winded in a section shooting down criticism that share buybacks are almost un-American. It'd be one thing if Buffett were making the case because he was preparing to repurchase Berkshire stock, but his policy on this is quite clear. He'll only do it when the stock is trading at a mere 20% premium to the company's book value. It's nowhere near that right now. One thing, Buffett did correct the fallacy that Berkshire will own certain stocks forever. Could he be hinting that another exit is approaching? If so, our guess might be American Express. Berkshire's nearly 17% stake in the credit company is worth about $12 billion today, compared with the $1.3 billion Berkshire paid for it. And Charlie Munger, Warren Buffett's right-hand man, pretty much ripped Amex earlier this month, saying the future of the payments industry isn't knowable, and that if you're confused about its prospects, welcome to the club. These aren't things you'd expect to hear from the top shareholder of Amex, and Munger, of course, is Buffett's influential right-hand man.
You did say Berkshire reached that $250,000 threshold, huh? If only I'd bought that.
8 consecutive days.
Yeah. Well, VW's got a repair job that's only half done.
Yeah. Now, when VW admitted in 2015 to rigging 11 million cars to cheat their emissions test, few would have guessed that its sales would actually surpass Toyota a year later. Look at the car maker's 2016 earnings released late on Friday. Yes, there was another €7.5 billion in charges related to the whole diesel scandal, but net profit was still more than €5 billion, a level beaten by fewer than 20 Western European companies last year. So if you're a VW investor, it might be tempting to relax right now. Not so. The big thing to watch here is a public spat over cost cuts between the company's labour chief and the man hired to slash costs at the core VW brand, a chap called Herbert Diess. And it shows that it really is too soon to breathe easy. Now, industrial relations at the carmaker plumbed new depths last week when Diess said he was looking at claims that promotions at VW were often tied to being a member of the IG Metall trade union. Now, it's true, of course, that nothing of importance happens at Volkswagen without the union say so, but Diess is grabbing the third rail of VW politics by challenging this. You just don't go there. If Diess did go, analysts suggest that it could push VW stock down more than 10%. That's more than €7 billion of market value. Why so much importance on one man? Since VW poached him from BMW back in 2014, he's been the great hope for fixing the company's two big problems, the substandard profitability of the core VW brand and its weak corporate governance, where workers and the state of Lower Saxony have too much influence. It's not as though what he's proposing is radical, but the question is over who calls the shots at VW is one reason investors don't give much credit to its hefty profit. Trades on less than 7 times estimated earnings.
Edward Evans, Bloomberg Gadfly editor in our London Bureau. Thanks. And you can read more fast commentary and instant analysis at Bloomberg.com/Gadfly or by typing GADFGO on the Bloomberg. Karen.
Well, now it's time for our daily Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news. It's brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute resolve faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Today, Bloomberg Law host June Grasso and Michael Best discuss a recent court ruling affecting the ability of law enforcement to compel someone to use a fingerprint to unlock their phone. They speak with Robert Mintz, a partner at McCarter in English.
Bob, under what circumstances is it clear that the government can get a warrant to force someone to unlock an iPhone with a fingerprint?
Well, that issue has come before the courts before,
And the courts have held where there is a very specified need for that information, and the government has made out clear probable cause connecting the individual with the information that may be on their cell phone, prosecutors can in some instances force an individual to unlock a cell phone. But in this case, the court found that there was insufficient evidence based on the warrant that was presented to the magistrate judge to require individuals who just happened to be on the premises to use their thumbs to unlock their cell phones. And the court relied both on Fourth Amendment and on Fifth Amendment grounds in denying that request.
You know, Bob, it seems a little strange on some level to be talking about the Fourth Amendment rights of people when we don't even know if they're going to be there, and their Fifth Amendment rights, we don't know who's going to be there. Is it normal in a warrant application for the government to ask about the methods by which they're going to search people they might find at the location?
Well, that is unusual, Michael. I mean, usually what a warrant does is it establishes probable cause that a crime has been committed and that evidence of that crime is located at a particular premises. So in other words, it is based entirely on a premises and not on a person. In this case, this warrant application and the judge's opinion got into issues of acts of production and conduct by individuals who, as you mentioned, may or may not even be at the premises at the time that the search is executed.
And that's Robert Mintz, a partner at McCarter in English, speaking with Bloomberg Law host June Grasso. You can listen to Bloomberg Law weekdays at 1 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio.
And that is this morning's Bloomberg Law Brief. You'll find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com for more information.
And futures this morning, they're little change to lower. S&P futures down a point, Dow futures down 7, NASDAQ futures down about 8. The DAX in Germany little changed as well. 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 2.32%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.7% or 39 cents to $54.38 a barrel. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.
This is the Bloomberg DNA Report, legal, tax, and compliance information from the Bloomberg 99.1 Newsroom in Washington. Here's Steve Podisk.
Contracts with drug benefit managers prohibit some drugstores from telling customers the copay for their generic medicines is actually more expensive than if they paid out of pocket. Customers have to ask for information. LiDAR uses lasers instead of radio waves to create an image and is crucial to self-driving cars. Now Alphabet's Waymo is suing Uber for stealing its LiDAR designs. And the Senate today votes on the nomination of Wilbur Ross as Commerce Secretary. Tomorrow, President Trump delivers his first State of the Union address.
Bloomberg BNA, the leader in providing news, analysis, and proprietary business data that positions legal professionals to best advise their clients. This is Bloomberg.